Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm joined by John Knight, the Managing Director of Business Depot, a business advisory firm on a mission to help passionate individuals and businesses reach their potential. John is going to share with us his background in working with real estate businesses all around the country. We're going to discuss the results of their latest industry survey, where they asked real estate professionals how optimistic they are about 2015. And John will give us his tips for how to raise the bar in your real estate career. But before we catch up with John, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
So this week I'd like to tell you about a resource for any of you who are using Facebook for your business. And if you have multiple accounts for your agency, so if you have a Facebook page for your property management department, for example, and another one for your sales department, or if you've got other accounts for all of your individual salespeople, and you'd like to monitor the activity and manage all of the posting from one spot, well, there's a tool that you might like to have a look at called Facebook Business Manager. And as a marketing agency, we use this quite heavily, being able to manage all of our accounts all in one place for all of our clients. And what you can essentially do is have all of your individual pages for your business in one dashboard. So you can see the activity you're getting across all of those pages, the kind of reach and likes and comments and shares and all that sort of thing will all be aggregated into one graph. And then you can manage the posting and all of the general content from one place. So it's very, very handy if you have got multiple accounts, if you're advertising for your business as well and you have got multiple Facebook ad accounts, you can set those up in Business Manager as well. And again, so it's all in that one place. So really, really handy. I encourage you to go and check that out. If you have got various Facebook pages spread all over the place and you're wanting an easy way to manage it all in one place. So if you'd like to check this out, go to business.facebook.com or just go to Google and type in Facebook Business Manager. It'll pop up right in front of you there at the top of the page. And it certainly might help you if you'd like to manage all of your Facebook accounts all in one place. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, John Knight, the Managing Director of Business Depot. As Managing Director at Business Depot, John's objective is to empower small to medium businesses and the people behind them to reach their potential. John helps real estate businesses and their people with a range of services from business consulting, business valuations to mainstream accounting and taxation services. Our good friend, soon to be yours, John Knight, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
John, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of Business Depot.
Yeah, I suppose, Josh, my background is in the accounting and taxation business advisory area. But really what we're all about is we're all about connecting people to solutions to their problems. So as our name suggests, Business Depot, we'd like to think of ourselves as a place to go when you don't quite know where you want to go, where you need to go. And if we can't solve the problem within our accounting firm, we'll connect you to the people that can.
And can you give our listeners a little bit of an overview of where you're located, the sort of parts of the country you work in most, and maybe an overview for those who haven't been to your office, John, a little bit of a description of your funky office there in New Farm in Brisbane.
Funky, you reckon? So we're based in James Street in the Fortitude Valley, which is just outside the CBD of Brisbane. We're there because it's easy to get to. It's easy to have the car parks downstairs. And because our office does include a bit of a co-working space for other business consultants, we make sure that the overall front of house is very open, very transparent, So you walk up the stairs and you walk straight into the kitchen. And the idea of that is just to enable people to connect, whether it's by the coffee machine or sitting down having lunch or in the co-working space. My accountants can connect with the clients and connect with the consultants. We do work interstate as well, though. We've got clients in Sydney, Melbourne, regional areas. We do the bookkeeping remotely for a Perth real estate business. But we probably spend the majority of our time outside of Brisbane, down in Melbourne.
Fantastic. And you run a few events there at Business Depot headquarters. Can you describe the Depot X event and a couple of the other events that you run there, John?
Yeah, look, Depot X, as the name suggests, is inspired by TEDx. We have three very short, sharp speakers coming in with their value bombs. Yourself will be included in that very shortly, Josh. And the idea is that that people can come along. Clients can get access to the specialists, obviously at no cost. Obviously, we also get an opportunity to connect those clients to other consultants, to the accountants, get some advice. And take that away to make it happen within your business. So the Depot X is one part of one of the events that we do regularly. We do often do industry specific events like our Raise the Bar events, which are specific to real estate. We do superannuation events. But really, it's a bit of a reverse in the pendulum, is that we want the face to face. And we use the events as an opportunity to get those face to face contact.
Well, something I find quite interesting that you guys do at Business Depot, John, is you conduct a survey every year where you ask real estate business professionals how optimistic they are about the year ahead, among other questions. What are the results of this year's survey, and what are businesses focusing on in 2015, and what do you think is contributing to some of that sentiment in the industry right now?
Yeah, look, our 2015 results showed that people are still very optimistic, or at least somewhat optimistic, about the year ahead. To be precise, we had 40% of the respondents said they were very optimistic about 2015, and 52% somewhat optimistic. So overall, it's a positive result. Look, obviously, there's a bit of a time stamp on those results in that it was late January 2015, but it does reflect what we're actually seeing out there in the marketplace. We also asked what areas was their main focus for 2015. Now, this is real estate specific, these results, and the top three were growth, cash flow, and staff recruitment. Now, the growth sort of side of things, you know, it's definitely on the agenda again. We're definitely having the discussions with businesses that are enabling them to grow. And I've actually sort of been breaking down those clients into a different segment, I suppose, that are really out there actively wanting to grow. So there's active growth companies are out there at the moment, and they're doing things like they're restructuring, they're bringing in key people as shareholders. They're thinking really long term about culture, team engagement, those types of things. Of course, cash flow is something dear to our heart as well here at Business Depot, and people are out there and they're just wanting to make sure that they can take the risk out of their business, have that secure pot of cash so that they can go do what they want to do. But of course, the staff recruitment side of things, it's always easy in this industry to focus on recruitment without first focusing on staff retention, and it's something I harp on about a lot.
Something I found quite interesting that you just said was 40% of people or business owners said they were optimistic about 2015, or very optimistic?
40% were very optimistic, 52% somewhat. So overall, we've got 92% which were optimistic about 2015.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, going into the new year, and as you said, the cutoff date for the survey was around January, so very early on in the year. Do you think that has a huge impact on, I guess, that mindset of the business owner going into the new year with all of those other areas of the business that they want to focus on? How do you think that one question contributes to the overall, kickoff to the new year?
Oh, I think it has a huge impact. Now, obviously, you've got market sentiment out there, and how that impacts the real estate industry obviously is a big thing. But I think there's also an element out there of business owners who have had a vision, who have had a dream, and just haven't been able to do it because they've had to be tight with their cash, or they've been a little bit defensive with their strategies. And many of them now are just sick of sitting on their hands, and they just want to make it happen. Now, of course, they need to be smart about that. And these businesses are the smart ones because they're not just running out there and doing anything. They're actually worried about cash flow at the same time. They're worried about the team at the same time.
Well, something else that Business Depot does is you help real estate business owners at each stage throughout the life cycle of their business. But if we take it right back to the start, John, and what are some of the non-negotiables when starting a real estate business, and where do some business owners or even salespeople who are aspiring to be business owners, where do they fall down, in your opinion, right at the start?
Oh, look, the first thing is they just need to go into it with their eyes wide open. They need to have realistic expectations about what they're getting into. Now, you know, often the first year of trading in a new business, you will not make any money. It is not uncommon to make a loss within the first year of trading. And sometimes people get a bit surprised by that. So I always like to help people go into it with their eyes wide open. So that might mean actually sitting down and looking at the drivers of the business, looking at the potential profitability, looking at the actual cash that can come out of those business. Because if you know those drivers, then obviously you can tweak them to suit your personal circumstances. You know, you've got to also get advice. You know, you've got to make sure that you get advice about those things that you're not the guru at. And one of the first things that many businesses do wrong is they don't get their structure right from the beginning. Now, I'm talking here about your legal structure, whether you're a company, whether you're a trust, a sole trader, partnership, those types of things. You've got to get that right. And if you're getting the advice from the beginning, you will, and getting it from the people who know. But the other key thing I'd say, the other key non-negotiable, is you've just got to lay those solid foundations. And whether you're in real estate or manufacturing or whatever it is you do, the first thing you need to know within your business is what is your competitive advantage? Why do people do business with you? And if you know that, that can drive every decision you make within your business from that point forward.
And when we talk about structure, John, if I can focus on one in particular that I've seen some businesses have come unstuck is where there's partnership arrangements. And it might be a couple of lead salespeople in a particular, whether it's a franchise group or an office, a boutique office, whatever it may be, and they go into business together, and that very quickly deteriorates and the relationship sours and all the staff start to be a victim of that relationship falling apart. Have you seen those sorts of things play out, and what can, I guess, people consider if they're thinking about going into that kind of arrangement?
Yeah, look, again, you just got to go into your eyes wide open. Look, I've seen businesses fail because people just shouldn't have been in business together. They're either just not a match professionally or personally. You have a partnership of two controlling individuals and they tend to butt heads sooner or later. That's why I like the idea of asking those hard questions up front. It's much easier to agree on what should happen in a certain circumstance, sitting around a boardroom table when we're all happy, than it is when we're fighting. Or it is when, you know, this probably applies to situations as well around succession planning or exit planning. You know, let's say somebody, you know, now no longer wants to be in business with that person. How do we deal with that? How do we value the business? How do we get out?
Are there some things that they can set up at the start to, I guess, with that end in mind? Are there some questions they should be asking to maybe set up for that right from the start?
Yeah, you've just got to have that partnership agreement, that shareholders agreement sorted out up front. When you've got unrelated parties in business together, it's just critical that we identify key milestones and we identify how the business will be valued, how disputes will be resolved, and all those types of things. And a lot of that goes right back to what's the philosophy of the business from the beginning. You know, are we in partnership together 50-50, or is somebody the controlling interest? If it's 80-20, then it's not really a 50-50 partnership. The philosophy should be different, and we should think about how we structure any dispute resolution or exit clauses.
Having those discussions up front can save a lot of headache down the track, that's for sure.
Makes it so much easier, but it can prevent some of those other events that come up, you know, those disputes that come up. And sometimes they're just about little things. Sometimes it's about how much cash someone's put in or someone's working harder in the business than the other person. You know, if your philosophy is clear from the beginning, then how people should act and behave should also be very clear.
No doubt. Well, what advice would you give to someone thinking of starting their own real estate business, or, you know, a salesperson or a property manager thinking, look, I think I know what I'm doing. I want to go out and start my own business. And what would you say to people that are thinking of rising up to the challenge of becoming a business owner themselves?
Yeah, well, the first thing is to start thinking about themselves as a business now. You know, even an individual salesperson or property manager can think about themselves as a business now. And that just means they're going to start to do things like spend money to make money. They're going to start investing in their own profile, in advertising of their own profile. They might even start putting on a PA that comes out of their commission, those types of things. If they're already thinking like a business now, they're going to be able to transition a lot better. You know, quite often what people will do is they'll go to an independent contractor arrangement before they then progress to their own business. And that could work quite well as long as you meet all the necessary requirements along the way. It makes you aware of the issues and I suppose the pressures of running your own business. You know, making sure that you know you don't earn anything unless you actually sell something. The other advice I'd give is you've got to get a bit excited. You've got to have a bit of passion about what you want to do. You can tell when someone's passionate about what they do. They're going to work hard and it's easy for that passion to shine through. So even though, you start with, thinking about yourself as a business, you have to empower that passion. You got to let that come through, take that excitement and harness it for success. But the other thing or the final thing I'd probably say is think about your business model. Not every business, real estate business, is the same. They're all extremely different. Some have a property management focus, some have a sales focus, some have a principal selling focus. So I always talk about the three R's of real estate: risk, reward, and reliance. How much risk are you able to bear within your business? Where do you see the reward coming from? And will it be reliant on any particular person, any particular type of income, probably the principal? And a mix of all three of the three R's will come up with many variations of business models.
Something I'm keen to get your thoughts on, John. I've certainly seen it happen where whether it's a property manager in an existing company or a salesperson thinking of starting their own business or becoming a business owner, and they're doing it kind of in the dark without the current employer knowing about it. And then when they decide to exit that business, the relationship gets quite ugly very quickly. And especially if it's in the same marketplace that they're opening up their own business. But on the other side, I've seen property managers or salespeople go into partnership with their current employers or look at, transitioning into a business owner capacity or whether they're shareholdings or things like that. If someone within an existing business is thinking of starting their own business, how can they maintain that relationship with their current employer if they want to? And maybe what are some of the questions they should be asking or discussions they should be having with that employer?
Yeah, look, I mean, number one, I'm just a massive fan of transparency. If you've got a desire or you've got a drive to be a business owner, be upfront about that. It's amazing how many discussions I'm having at the moment with principals of large real estate businesses where we're willing to open that second office to enable that key salesperson or property manager to be able to get out there, deliver on their passion. It also gives the existing principal an opportunity to derive more income from somebody else's passion or drive. I'm having a lot of success with that at the moment. You've got to be very clear, very transparent about what everybody wants to get out of it, because the last thing you want to do is take your best salesperson out of a high-performing business, set them up across the road in a different office, and then sacrifice your existing business for a portion of a potential business. So you've got to make sure that as part of any sort of process where you're bringing somebody on, whether it's property management, whether it's sales, you're giving them equity, the whole idea is that the pie has to grow. Even if you've got a smaller piece of the pie has to grow. So you've still got to look after the existing business through recruitment or whatever the strategy is, as well as get that new business up and running. And, of course, the insights an existing principal can share with a new person coming through are amazing, and it enables that business to get up and running so much quicker.
Mm. And I think it comes from the top down, right? So if the business owner is fostering a culture of winners and fostering a culture of people who want to start their own businesses and they're encouraging them to do that, it kind of leaves the door open for that transparency to flourish in that particular business. I'm keen to get your thoughts on that. What do you think?
We're people businesses in the end, aren't we? And it's all about getting everybody to work together as a number of individuals all working under one roof or under one business name. So enabling everybody to grow, enabling everybody to make steps within their own plans ends up, in my opinion, better for everybody.
Sure, sure. And once a business starts to mature, John, what are some of the critical elements that the business owner should consider to make sure that the business they're building will be a sustainable one in the long term?
Yeah, well, you've got to be able to access regularly and promptly good information about your business. Now, obviously, as a bean counter by trade, I like to look at the profit and loss statement. But I always insist the profit and loss must be split by division and must, or ideally, would also be split by salesperson. So when I talk about the divisions in real estate business, we talk about sales, we talk about property management, we talk about principals, so we can see what they're bringing in and what they're taking out. But I also have a fourth division, which I just call admin or common costs. And the idea is you can then see the drivers of profit within your business. So if you've got 100 grand profit on the bottom line, you can see how much has come from sales, how much has come from property management, how much has come from the principals before we then pay out our common costs like our rent and so forth. Yeah, you can easily do that these days, whether it be in Xero or in MYOB or QuickBooks. You can easily track that by making some small changes within your systems. Then it just allows you to be more aware of the drivers of success for your business. Because at this maturity stage, it's easy. I see a lot of businesses lose their mojo. So I see a lot of businesses that have been in it for, let's say, 8 years. Let's say they've been in it for 8 years and they haven't been able to grow themselves personally. Maybe they're still stuck selling. They haven't been able to get that big team of people underneath them to enable them to just manage, work on the business rather than in the business. And that's where, you know, when you've got a business and I see them lose their mojo, we've got to allow everybody within that business to evolve, to grow, to refresh what's going on in the business. And that's a bit of a trick in itself, in that you've got to implement change.
And what percentage of businesses have you seen, John, that are still running their property management and sales under the one P&L, so to speak?
I see a lot still. I mean, obviously, they're not my clients. but they're probably people that aren't looking at the P&L.
Right.
And that's probably a bigger issue. They're probably not even looking at the P&L every month. They're probably only looking at it once a year. But every month you need to be able to see where your profits are coming from, because it then enables you to focus on those other big things that are relevant at that mature stage of business. You know, like how much are you spending on advertising? Is it all funded by the vendor, all funded by the salesperson? You know, I always ask the question and everyone always says we get 100% recovered, but the P&L tells the truth. And I often have a number of heated discussions about that before I have to pull out a list of transactions to show where the money's gone. It also enables you to focus on like your commission structures. What's your average payout on your commissions? Yeah, even when you dig deeper, then it allows you to look at things like your staff mix. Because staff mix is something that probably businesses probably don't focus on enough, because if you've got different commission structures within your office, it actually matters whether the person who makes the sale is being paid 45% or 60%. It's going to have a big impact on your average rate of commission.
Well, I think it goes back to what our guest on the show last week said, Ian Campbell, who said, you know, what gets measured gets managed. And I think it's so important, especially when it comes to cash flow. I mean, really the only two letters that matter in business are P and L, right?
P and L, the balance sheet matters as well.
Sure, sure. Well, one of the other biggest challenges besides cash flow is, especially in this industry, is staff retention. And how can an agency principal, in your opinion, John, get the best longevity and stop that revolving door of staff, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, I mean, I just think it comes back to laying those solid foundations again. Every business needs to start with what are the values of this business. Now, if you get the values right from the beginning, it's amazing how well that business can work. It can be like a well-oiled machine. The old adage of, you know, the right people on the bus, but you've also got to have them facing the front. You've got to have someone at the steering wheel. You've got to make sure no one's hanging out the window, grabbing onto poles on the way past. Because if you get those values right, then you filter out those people that don't belong anyway. Now, I know how hard it is to get good people in real estate, whether it be a salesperson or whether it be a property manager. But when you get them, you want to retain them. And if you've got an alignment of values, it makes them really hard for them to leave. Mm. You know, once you've got that layer, I suppose, of the values there, then you've got to do things to keep the team engaged. You know, you've got to ask them for their input. You know, I'm a strong believer. I actually think the majority of staff want to be part of a successful business. You know, they don't want to be just a cog in the machine, though. They want to be able to have some input in the strategies and how things are implemented. Mm. But they do need a leader. And, you know, every team, in my view, needs some leader at the front who's enabling them to take that next step.
Something I see a lot happen in businesses, John, especially today, a lot of people will have their core values up on a wall somewhere in their office or on the desk of every staff member. But if you actually walked around and asked someone in the office to, off the top of their head, recite the core values of the business, and it might only be a couple of sentences long, not one of them would be able to reiterate what the core values of the business actually are. What do you think it comes down to when instilling those core values into the staff? What are some of the basic things do you think as a leader, a business owner should really take action on when it comes to getting those core values embedded deeply into the business?
I mean, you just got to live and breathe it in absolutely everything that you do. I mean, I'll give an example about ourselves internally. At Business Depot, our values are written on the wall, and I always like to keep them short and concise. We ended up with about 10, so it's probably more than probably recommended. But what we've actually called them our That's Depot statements. And so the communication around the office is that people pull each other up. If somebody does something and it's not Depot, then people actually say, "That's not Depot, John. Why are you doing that?" But it also gives us an opportunity to go the other side, where it can go, "Well, is that Depot?" Yeah, it is. And it challenges people to go that next step. So really embedding it and making sure it's part of the general dialogue around the office is what makes it work.
Mm-hmm. Having a bit of fun with it, I think, is certainly one way to bring it to the forefront, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. We definitely do that.
Well, what are some of the other challenges that a business faces when it enters those stages of maturity that you're seeing out there in the marketplace, John?
Yeah, look, obviously, as a business gets more mature, it tends to grow. And when your business grows, your costs grow. And one of the key things is, you know, when your business, you know, takes on more people, takes on more costs, your working capital requirements grow as well. So what that means is you need to leave more money behind within the business. So you might start the business, and the general rule of thumb for working capital is 3 months' worth of expenses. Now, in real estate, it sometimes is a bit longer than that. But if you start your business with 3 months' worth of expenses and your monthly expenses grow, then obviously you need to leave more money behind within your business to enable that to happen. It's also time to just really get good reporting systems within the office. And I'll harp on again about the divisional reporting. Mm. Because at this mature stage, you're probably starting to think about succession as well. So when you're thinking about succession, you've got to make sure that you can show the true performance of your business. And to do that, that divisional reporting comes in very handy again. So you've got to start to think about those costs, but you've got to make sure those costs don't get out of control as well. Another reason to look at your reporting systems to be able to keep track of that.
Well, what are some of the tools available today to make that a little bit easier, John? Can you enlighten our listeners on some of those things like Xero that you mentioned, or any other tools that are available today to make life a little bit easier for the business owner?
Yeah, look, very simply, I mean, you can just do it within your general accounting system, whether it be Xero, MYOB, or whatever you like. We use Xero predominantly, but we probably have a stack of clients still on MYOB. Within both of those, you have tracking categories or job codes, which enables you to allocate each and every cost and each and every income item to a person or to a division, mm-hmm. depending on how you've set it up. You can also link Xero to some of the other programs out there, like My Desktop, and have some transactions start to come across automatically, which just makes it that little bit easier as well.
Fantastic. Well, some of our listeners may not be familiar with Xero, so we might we'll put a link in there for the show notes for them to go and check that out. Well, John, let's shift to the other end of the spectrum, to the end of a real estate business owner's career. How can a principal best prepare for a smooth transition into retirement, and what are some of the non-negotiables at that end of their career?
Yeah, well, I suppose just having a plan is probably a really good start. Walking in and saying, I'm ready to get out now, John. We're not going to be able to maximize the value that they get, because the process is going to be a lot shorter than you would otherwise require. I always say you need to start about 3 to 5 years out from when you want to truly get out. But more and more these days, we're seeing so many different types of succession. Succession doesn't have to be the sale of your business, okay? It might be the partial succession. And so many times I've seen businesses bring in key players, bring them in as equity holders, and during that process, they actually refine how they run the business. They introduce advisory boards. They introduce a lot more structure around the business, which means the principal can actually work on the business rather than in the business. And they get to that stage and they go, well, I'm already having a day off a week and I'm actually enjoying myself a bit more now because I've grown and I've changed what I'm doing with my days. And they actually then decide to stay in the business. And as these rent rolls get bigger and bigger, I think we're going to see more of those sort of strategies where the existing owners possibly remain in the business, maybe even as a silent shareholder or maybe as a chairman sort of role that sort of comes in and just looks at the numbers on a quarterly sort of basis. Part of your succession plan requires you to think about who that successor should be. Is it going to come from someone internal, or do you have a requirement that you want to get completely out because you want to move to Italy or something or other? Then you need to think about that type of successor, who that likely purchaser is going to be, because it might change what we do now to prepare for that. Make sure you get your advice along the way, of course, people who know the industry. And, of course, you want to maximize the value that you get out of it. So focusing on what drives the value in your business and being able to present that data really well will help a lot. Mm.
And starting, you mentioned there your suggestion is to start about 3 to 5 years out from when they retire. And, John, for some of our listeners who may be at that stage of their career where they're thinking of retiring and there's circumstances that do come up that may require them, that timeline might not be possible. So for people that have got that, I guess, that haven't got that luxury of spending 3 to 5 years preparing their business for sale, what are some of the things they can put in place to really make sure that they can get the maximum, benefit from selling their business if they haven't got that luxury of that time period?
Yeah, well, there's a number of things we can do from a tax perspective as well to maximize the after-tax value that you get. Some people are in the wrong structure, and sometimes there's little things that we can do that gives you access to a number of the tax concessions that are available out there. These tax concessions are quite generous, and they work really well with the real estate industry as long as the government doesn't change them, of course. But there's little things we can do there to improve the tax position, the capital gains tax payable on sale. But other things you can do, obviously, just get back to those value, the drivers of value within your business. Now, obviously, property management, how efficient is your business? How many properties per property manager do you have? What's the geographical spread? All those little drivers of value will drive that multiple within your property management business. Of course, sales businesses don't tend to attract a huge value, but they can. And I have seen them transact at a good value. You tend to get a better value when you do have an internal sale to somebody internally. And that's not because they're ripping somebody off. It's because you've taken some of the risk out of the transition. They already know the business. You already know them. So that takes a fair bit of the risk out of it.
Well, John, let's shift to today for Business Depot. What are you guys working on there that's getting you fired up?
Oh, mate, I get a bit fired up at the moment about collaboration, the collaboration economy or the sharing economy at the moment. The whole idea, you don't know what you don't know. Let's find somebody who does know. Let's not pretend to be the specialist in absolutely everything, but why can't we collaborate to deliver on those other things? That's why we have a co-working space. That's why we have our arrangements with them. We call them our collective members to enable us to deliver on more services than just accounting firm services. So that gets me a bit fired up at the moment. I love getting into businesses though as well and just breaking down those traditional barriers and just sort of seeing if you can smash your way through them and challenge people. Well, why not? We do a little exercise. We call it the 1%ers, where we break down your business into a formula. And you can then tweak just little bits of your business. Maybe your rents go up 3%. Maybe you add 10 properties a month. Maybe you add two more salespeople. What does that do for your bottom line? And I love the look on people's faces when you say, well, that's all I have to do, and I get to that profit down the bottom. So that gets me fired up. But I love our events as well. We get a bit fired up about that because it's, as I said before, it's probably against the trend at the moment to have face-to-face contact, and that's why we love having that opportunity to provide specialist advice to our clients. And those value bombs, I suppose, that they can take back and apply to their business.
Well, John, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Steps Real Estate Industry Social Media Survey. We found that 78% of real estate professionals said they strongly agree that social media is important to their business. But a whopping 64% of respondents disagree that their social media marketing is actually effective. I think it highlights the fact that most businesses are only using social media because they think they need to, and those without a strategy in place have no way of measuring if what they are doing is having any impact at all. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, John, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
My answer's probably pretty boring here, Josh, but it's my father, Daryl. And why I think he's been an inspiration is that I'm the disappointing son who didn't become the electrician. And so my father ran an electrical contracting business from home. You know, the shed was at home, the tradies would come to home, the phone would ring 24 hours. And I think what that inspired me was I always knew I was going to be my own business owner, and I always knew I wanted to help family business. So that's probably been ingrained in me from a very early age.
John, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Another boring answer for you, Josh. I can't think of anything better than hanging with the kids. The little bit of time we get off from business and other duties, hanging with the kids, maybe playing with lightsabers in the backyard, something like that. I can't think of.
Now, for our listeners who don't know, John, you've got twin boys, correct?
Yeah, I've got twin boys and an older girl. So we're currently going through the Star Wars phase at the moment, which is pretty cool.
John, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Look, I can't go past Purple Cow by Seth Godin. It's an absolute classic for me, in that it's an easy read, but it's got a really strong, timeless message, just be different. Really resonated with me, and I know I hand it out to clients quite often.
Well, John, what is your favourite technology resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Well, I'm going to cheat and give three as part of my answer, Josh, because I use Google Drive all the time. Zero accounting, obviously, is essential for me. But also GoToMeeting allows us to connect and deliver services without having to physically be in front of people, which breaks down those barriers. I suppose they're all enablers for us to be able to move around the place, be mobile with our delivery of services, and again, break down the geographical barriers.
And just for our listeners who aren't familiar, John, Google Drive is essentially file sharing. It's a little bit like Dropbox or just like Dropbox. Xero is your accounting software, and GoToMeeting very much collaboration like Skype and video meetings online, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the Google Drive, the way I use it is just to be able to have documents all in one place that I can locate from many different devices. Xero Accounting is obviously a cloud accounting system, so same thing, being able to access it from many different devices. And GoToMeeting, if anyone knows me, they know I like to draw on a whiteboard. So when I'm not face-to-face, I draw on my computer screen and use GoToMeeting to do that.
Fantastic. Well, John, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Yeah, look, I hope my answer here is not controversial, but I think the biggest thing is possibly ego. Ego can be one of the biggest enablers of success in real estate, but it can also be one of the biggest contributors to failure or financial failure anyway. I've got a saying that I always harp on about: sales are vanity, profit is sanity and cash is reality. And it's great to get up at all the awards nights and celebrate all that. It's great for team morale. It's great for team engagement. It's great for having that excitement and that passion. But if we don't actually make sure we're making money out of it along the way, and that doesn't actually turn and that turns into cash, then we have to think about why we're in it.
I love that. Well, John, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Well, given at a family level, we're going through the Star Wars phase, I have to quote Yoda, do or do not, there is no try. And I love that because, you know, if you're going to get out there and do it, let's do it properly. Let's not just do it half. Let's get out there and do it properly. And if there's problems, let's break down those barriers and make it happen.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that John has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/John Knight, and Knight spelt with a K. Well, John, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Business Depot?
We're always available. Website www.businessdepot.com.au. You can always connect with me on Twitter at JAK_Knight, KNIGHT, or always happy to take phone calls, always happy to talk to people, 0438 687751.
John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.